Last year, we celebrated the 45th anniversary of this church. It's a Christian church. And some of you guys were here. Some of you that are new faces, you were not. But one of the things that we emphasized that day was the theme was pressing forward, moving forward. And one of the things we learned is that, yes, you go back to the past. I mean, this church, 45 years of history, it had a past. It had up and downs. But we learned that day through the sermons that you don't linger in the past in order for you to move forward. You had to leave it behind and press forward to what lies ahead, like Paul talks about. Now, the thing is, we talked about moving forward, but sometimes we don't do it because we stop running. You see, in our own lives, we set goals in life. We make plans. We want to do certain things. But sometimes we do not accomplish those plans because along the way, we stop trying. Well, along the way, we quit. We stop pressing forward. At times, we forfeit victory because we give up too quickly. A lot of times, we keep ourselves from the blessing that God has in store for us due to our attitude. Somebody said, our attitude determines our altitude. In other words, our attitude determines our success in life. You know, I met him playing softball one time in the DR, Dominican Republic, and that guy has the greatest arm. He can throw a softball all the way from 300 feet to home plate. That was just a softball. Imagine what he can do to a baseball. So some friends told me that he was going to be drafted by the Pirates. So 2 years passed, and later on I went back to the town and I asked, where's Alex? That was his name. Did he get drafted? And somebody said, no, he didn't make it. I said, hold on, he had all the talents in the world. How can you tell me he didn't make it? And the person told me, well, his attitude stink. And, you know, he didn't abide by the rules. I mean, there were certain rules that he needed to abide by, you know, if he wanted to play baseball. So his attitude kept him from going into the majors. So really, your attitude determines your altitude. A lot of times we forfeit his blessings because our attitude really stinks. That was the scenario, that was the case for the Israelites, God's chosen people. They blew it. They failed drastically. They kept themselves from victory when God was telling them, you're winners. They kept themselves from the blessing of God. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we do the same. I think God's trying to talk to one of us today here about how is it that we keep ourselves at times from his blessing. When you go into the story of the Israelites, 2 years after Israel left Egypt, remember the story, God utilized Moses. Moses came, delivered his people from slavery. And the Bible described it was with a mighty hand that God took him. You know, 10 plagues in Egypt. The Israelites, that generation, saw God's hand at work. They saw it. It was vivid. Even when they just came in the desert, and there's the Red Sea, and here's the Egyptian army coming towards them, and they cried out to Moses, and Moses cried out to God, and God said, Moses, what you got in your hands? A staff. Lift it up. And God opened the Red Sea, and they all saw that. God opened the Red Sea, and they went as if they were walking on dry land. And on the other side, when God drowned all the Egyptians, and Miriam gets up all the ladies of the Israelites, and they start singing a song that says, blessed be the Lord, because he hurled the rider and his horse into the sea. They saw God at work. 2 years after that, Moses goes into a mountain to receive the tablets, the law from God. And you know, God said, I'm going to descend. I'm going to dwell on that mountain. And he set up perimeters right there. And the Israelites are waiting at the foot of the mountains. Moses goes there 40 days with God. And God gives him the tablets, the Ten Commandments. God also gave Moses the instructions to build the tabernacle. The tabernacle, we're discussing that on Friday night, was going to be a tent in which God will dwell among his people. The people were traveling, so this tent would represent God's presence among them. So God gave that to Moses. Remember, the purpose of God delivering Israel from Egypt is to take him to a land that he promised all the way to Abraham. I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. That's how the Bible describes this land. I'm going to take you to this prosperous land. Because you will be my people and I will be your God. That's what God told him. So that's the main reason why he's taking them all the way from slavery to take him to their future, Canaan, the land of the promise. So about 2 years after they left Egypt, God brings them to the border of the land. And then he tells Moses, okay, send out 12 men to explore the land, to spy out the land. So you see the kind of land that I'm giving to you. We're going to be looking at that text in Numbers chapter 13. So God gave Moses the instruction. He's going to send 12 men. There are 12 tribes of Israel, a leader of each tribe, 12 men. So they go for 40 days, they were to explore the land. And then, you see, this story today is so important because this is really, when you read that story, this is when Israel really blew it. You know how sometimes you might commit a sin or whatever, I mean, you might do something bad. I mean, this is really, I mean, they rebel along the way, but this is really where they just blew it. They failed God really here miserably. Numbers 13, verse 26. That's our text for today. Before we get that, see, Moses gave those 12 men instruction in Numbers 13, 17 through 20. Look what it says. Verse 17, when Moses sent him to explore Canaan, he said, go up through the Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and whether the people who live in there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they walled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or good? Are there trees on it or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. It may be the season of the first ripe grapes. So they went on to explore the land in the desert of Zin, far from Rehob, toward the Lebo Hamath. They went up through the Negev and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shemaiah, and Talmiah, the descendants of Anak, lived. So they go to explore the land. So Moses said, find out some of the things that they were to find out. The dwellers of the inhabitants of the land, the towns, kind of cities, if they were walled or camped, they were protected cities or not. You know, in those days, if you had a city, you always had this huge wall around because, you know, you see that in the Lord of the Rings. That was your stronghold. You're protecting yourself. If somebody broke into your city, that's it. You lost it. You kept people from outside shooting arrows and things. The cities has huge walls around them. So Moses told, find out if that's how those cities are. The type of soil of the land. And then he said, please bring some evidence. Bring some sample of the fruit of the land. So verse 25 tells you that they were to do this for 40 days. So at the end of the exploration, they come back to report what they found. So in chapter 13, verse 26 now. So they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us and it does flow with milk and honey. You know what they're saying? It is truly what God said. He said it's flowing with milk and honey, and it's true. That land is indeed a prosperous land. We did what you told us to do. Here's the evidence. It does flow with milk and honey. And then verse 28. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger than we are. They spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. So this is, my brothers and sisters, this is a story when Israel really failed God, big time. They forfeited God's blessing. God already had predetermined. God already said to Abraham, he said, back in Genesis, to your descendants, I'm going to give you that land. That's going to be yours. And he get his people out of Egypt to put him on the journey to the land. They get to the border, to the border of the land. They go and explore. They find out it is truly, as God said, it flows with milk and honey. His giving of that land. But there's always got to be a but somewhere. But the people who live there, they're tough. See, the cities are really walled, well protected. So why did Israelite fail here? What kept him from moving forward? What kept him from obtaining the blessing of God? God already said, I'm giving you that. Go take it. Why didn't they? Well, let me tell you the number one reason why Israel failed, because they were afraid. They feared. And look at some of the things they feared. Oh, we saw the descendants of Anak there. That's like, I was trying to think of an example. That'd be like saying, you're going to move around Al-Qaeda people. Or ISIS people. Those are going to be your neighbors. Now, how many of us would just pitch our tent around those people? This one is like, the land is good, but the neighbors that we're going to be living with, they're tough. I don't know. And that's, they were afraid. Fear kept them from moving forward. Fear always going to paralyze us. Sometimes we're going to do something because we're afraid to go to, even though God already told them, go take it, and they are afraid of the people. They have forgotten what God already did in the past for them. And fear will keep you paralyzed, will keep you stuck. They were fearful of the people and the land. They were powerful. They even said they were stronger than we are. The cities are well protected. How are we going to penetrate those cities? And then the surrounding neighboring, if we go and attack those ones, the other neighbors are going to come. It's like, we can't. Israel is afraid to go into the land where God was sending them. Fear kept them from going to where God was leading them. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we forfeit God's blessing. That was the blessing God was going to give them, and they did not want to take it because they're afraid. The same thing happens to us today. God might be saying, this is where I'm going to take you, but we don't want to go there because we are afraid. Whatever lies ahead, whatever challenges we're going to be facing, we are afraid. There were only two people from the 12 that explored the land that they had the same opinion that they could go and take possession of the land, and that was Caleb and Joshua. Look at how Caleb responded in verse 30. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. He's the only one that says, yes, we can do this. But the men, the following verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they spread a bad report among the Israelites. They changed the report. Look at what they say now about the land. It said, the land we explore devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seem like grasshoppers, like bugs, like nothing compared to those people. And we look the same to them. Statistically speaking, we cannot go and take possession of the land because they're larger than we are. They have a better team than we do. And it's just, we look like little bugs compared to them. There's no way we can do it. You see what fear makes you do? They are afraid. And you see, when they say we cannot go and attack those people, they're larger than we are. At that moment, when the way they're talking, they're saying everything depends on us. And you know, sometimes we fall into the same sin that we think everything falls and rises based on us. We do those things. We kick God to the curb a little bit, and then it's like, well, we cannot do it because, you know, even though God said, go take possession of the land, He already had told them, I'll be with you. And they don't want to go because of what they saw. Why this fear? because they were looking at everything through their own eyes, like we do many times. They were looking at the situation. They were looking at the people through their own eyes. And yes, they were large people. They were giants. They have forgotten who brought them to where they were. Sometimes we do the same in our walk with God. We forget that if we are here today, it's because He brought us there. And if He brought us here, He promises to go with us the next level too. But we don't want to go because we see the challenges bigger than even God. Just like the Israelites, they're giants and they're 40. There's no way that we can do it. Yes, you cannot do it on your own. But if God's telling you, go move, you either obey Him, you're going to be stuck, paralyzed by fear, just like the Israelites. The God's chosen people. I just cannot comprehend that. They just saw the Red Sea. They just saw God 2 years ago drown a whole army in the sea because they came against His people, and they cannot go and take possession of the land when God said, go and take it. And we think like, man, they were really messed up people. They had some issues. We do the same thing today. God worked miraculous things in our past, and we now here, it's like, we're going to forget that if He did it back then, the Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still can work on my behalf today, but we have to trust Him. The Israelites are not trusting God right now. You see, when fear kicks in, faith goes out the window. Do you realize how it is? When you have faith, you don't have fear. But when you have fear, where is faith? Gone. They're not trusting the Lord. They trusted Him to bring Him to the border of the land. And now they're not trusting that God's going to be with them the rest. And it's like, we can't. They're larger. They're giants. They saw, just like we do, we see our situations larger than God sometimes, don't we? We see our problems larger than God. And it's that's really a self-reliant sin that we commit. I mean, who's larger than God? Who's greater than Him? But for the Israelites, they got giants. They forgot who they represented, and we do it sometimes. I mean, look at it. We can't attack those people. We can't. They forgot the one who's really been fighting their battle has been Yahweh all along. So go with me now to chapter 14. So fear will keep you stuck. Fear will keep you from the blessing. From whatever it is that God has in store, because you're afraid, you don't want to take it. And you wonder why it's taking you so long to get that. That whatever you've been praying, sometimes like God's ready to give it to you, but He doesn't give it because you don't want to go take it. He paralyzes you. You're afraid. You're afraid to take that risk, even though He says, go, because I go with you. There's going to be some challenges, but if I'm going with you, it doesn't matter. So, a bad attitude the Israelites had. Look up chapter 14. It says, that night, all the people of the community raised their voices and wept out loud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the whole assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in this desert. Why is the Lord bringing us up to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. You know what they're doing right now? They're despising God's blessing. They said, let's go back to the past. Let's go back to Egypt. Really? You want to go back to slavery? That's like saying, God is going to give you this 50 or 60 inch screen TV. And you say, no, I want to go back to the one black and white with the dial. It just doesn't make sense. God said, I'm going to give you this washing and dryer. And then you say, no, I want to go back to washing clothes in the river and scrubbing it. Really? That's where you want to go? All because you are afraid? And it says they grumble. Usually when fear comes, all you're going to do is grumble and complain. And they complain about Moses and Aaron because they were the leaders. And then he says like, if only we had died in Egypt. Wow. I mean, that when you read that, you don't realize really the severity of that statement, because they're really saying, God, whatever you did for me, I don't care. I don't appreciate it. I'd rather die back there. God said, I delivered you because you were crying back there. I delivered you, brought you to where you are, and now I'm telling you, go and take the land, and you don't want to go. They'd rather dwell in the past. Now, this is not the first time that they're going to say, let's go back to Egypt. You're not going to be able to move forward every time you're going to go back to the past. Now the past is looking more promising than what God's telling you. Let's select a leader and go back to Egypt. And then you know, many of us do this. Why is the Lord bringing us all here? How many times do we say, why is God doing this to me? Why is God, you know, I've been praying all this time and I've been going to church, you know, every day. Why is God doing? We have that why syndrome a lot of times. Because fear gets in the way. They had a bad attitude, and now they begin to complain to God. And God really said, the purpose that I'm bringing you here is to take you to the land. That's the why. But because they don't see it, because they're afraid. Why is the Lord doing this? So that our wives and our kids be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to just, we would stay in Egypt? And they said to one another, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron, they fell face down in front of the whole Israelite community. God gathered there Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored, it is exceedingly good. This land is extremely good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land. A land flowing with milk and honey. And he will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. Listen to the confidence of Joshua and Caleb. They're the only ones who remember really who they represented. They're the only ones there that realize we saw God act on our behalf. This is nothing. Some translation we say, we're gonna eat him up. Why is it that 2 out of 12 have that confidence? Because only 2, I'm glad they didn't vote here. They could have voted, the majority wins. Joshua and Caleb said, we should go because we can do it. If the Lord is with us, they're nothing. Don't care how you call them, they're giants. If the Lord is with us, he's greater, he's bigger. And he will bring us into that land that he promised. If the Lord delights in us, if we rebel and sin against the Lord, then he will lead us into the land. We're going to forfeit his blessing. That's another thing why sometimes we don't get the blessing, because we rebel against God along the way. As we wait for his response, we rebel, we sin against him, and then we prolong that blessing. So he's not going to give it to us in that condition. See, Israel sinned that day. Bad. They sinned against God's command. God's command was go and take possession. They didn't want to go. They just were afraid. They began complaining to the point that later on they wanted to kill Joshua and Caleb, because they were the only ones that had the positive attitude, and they just wanted to kill them. Israelites were not truly trusting God right now. They forgot that they represented. God already said, you are my people. You are my children. If I'm telling you to go, go. They have forgotten. They forgot that the Lord is the one that fights their fight. There's a king later on that, you remember the story of David? David was the only one that remembered. He said, like, who is this Goliath that he thinks he can defile the army of God? Why everybody else in the camp was like, because there was a giant. Remember the story of David? A little boy is the only one that says, like, who does he think he is to talk trash about Yahweh? Joshua and Caleb said, we should go because those people are nothing. We're going to devour them, they said. If the Lord is with us, then what happens? Look at verse 10. Well, the whole assembly talked about stoning them. They want to stone Joshua and Caleb because they say, we can do this. Then the glory of the Lord, God has to intervene to keep Joshua and Caleb alive. Look, the glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the Israelites. The Lord said to Moses, how long will these people treat me with contempt? How long will they refuse to believe in me? Because they're not trusting God. In spite of all the miraculous signs that I have performed among them, I will strike him down with a plague and destroy them, but I will make you, Moses, into a great nation and stronger than they. God was ready to eliminate his own people right here. All because they're not trusting him. I mean, think about you and I today. I mean,
mean, we already made a confession of faith. We believe in Jesus, but sometimes we don't even trust God with our own lives, and we wonder why we don't get the blessing that we've been praying for a lot of times. We are fearful of what lies ahead. We our attitude changes, and we don't. And God said, I mean, how long would you treat me like that? He's saying to the Israelites, after I've done all those things for you, and we get to this point, you don't want to continue. Come on. And then he said, I'm gonna strike him with a plague. God had it with Israel right here because of the rebellion. Rebellion against God has drastic consequences. Sin against God has drastic consequences right here. Like I said, he was ready to destroy them. Moses, even though they talk trash about Moses, Moses was one of the greatest leaders in the Bible. He pleaded before God, like, give these people a chance. He prayed and pleaded with God on behalf of the Israelites. And God forgave them. God did not kill them right here. You see, like I'm talking about, when you rebel against the Lord, there's serious, drastic consequences. Because even though he forgave them, he did not give them the land to that generation. They did not enter that land. You see what I'm saying? That was predestined. That's how you and I need to understand predestination thing. The land already being predetermined by God to give it to his people. But along the way, along the journey, they rebel against God. And some of them did not make it. It's like heaven is being predestined for everybody. Everybody can go in there. Well, how are you walking today? Are you going to rebel along the way? Because you think that you've been saved so long ago? You still have to walk that path. You still have to represent God. God said, to your descendants, I will give the land. How is it that their parents did not make it? That generation that rebelled against God right here, God said, yes, I forgive you, but you're not going to the land. And yes, you know what else God did to them? The 10 men that spread the bad report, he killed them right then. When you read the story, he got his plague and those men died. And God said that only Joshua and Caleb will go into the land and their families and the generation. And anybody else who was 12 years and younger will go. So the first generation, because they rebel against God right here, God said now, because of 40 days you explore the land, now you're going to wander in the desert for 40 years. That's the reason why Israel was wandering in the desert in a circle for 40 years. Because that's the consequences of the rebellion right here. You want to play games with God as his people. You want to rebel along the way, and this is what will happen. Look at verse 30 of chapter 14. Verse 23 first. Say, no one of them will ever see the land I promised on oath to their forefathers. No one who has treated me this with contempt will ever see it. But because my servant Caleb has a different spirit and follows me wholeheartedly, I will bring him into the land that he went to. His descendants will inherit it. Since the Amalekites and Canaanites are living in the valleys, turn back tomorrow and set out toward the desert along the route to the Red Sea. And then verse 26, how the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, how long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard their complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing that I heard you say. In this desert, your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census, and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. As for your children that you have said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them to enjoy the land you have rejected. The Lord said it. You rejected the land. You rejected the blessing. Well, because you didn't want to go. And now, your kids will have it, not you. So now you see what's going on here. Joshua and Caleb, they had to wander in the desert for 40 years because it's the whole community. They're still the consequences of their sin. They wouldn't be wandering for 40 years, but they would be the only ones going into the land with anybody who's 20 years younger, according to the census. That's what the book of Numbers is called. It's called Numbers because at the beginning of chapter 1, it's a census counting out the community of Israelites. When you read that, it's almost like, wow. Really, they blew it bad. I mean, they forfeited God's blessing, the blessing of the land, all because they rebelled. They were fearful. They had a bad attitude. They rebelled against the Lord to the point they even wanted to kill some of the leaders. Israel lost the promised land God was giving them because of the attitude, because of their fear and unbelief. Their fear kept them focused on the enemy's strength rather than on God's strength. Their fear kept them looking at themselves like, oh, we can, instead of looking at God and say, it's through Him, through You, Lord, that we can accomplish more than we could ever ask or imagine. They turn away from the Lord, and turning away from the Lord will not get you His blessing. It will get you punished. It will get you, you know, the consequence of that sin. I mean, when you look at, even Moses did not make it to the land. Because this is only one of the times that they rebel. Eventually, in those 40 years, they rebel against, again, there's no water. And Moses also had it with the people, and he did something that God told him not to do. And Moses just got to see Canaan from the distance. God said only Joshua and Caleb will go and lead these people. That's why after you're done with the Pentateuch, you go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Joshua is challenging the people. You get to the book of Joshua because he's the leader. After Joshua is gone, that's a chronology in the Bible. You get to the judges. Joshua was also one of the greatest leaders. He led the people, that generation, the kids of those who rebelled. He led them into Canaan, and they enjoyed the land because God promised it. But everybody else, He said it. Oh, you think that people are gonna be plundered? You're gonna be killed? I'm gonna just do that to you. You're gonna be wandering in the desert for 40 years until your bodies lie here in the desert. All because you did not trust me. You rejected my blessing, the blessing I was giving you. So sin has consequences. Israel learned that lesson that day. Now, how about us? How many of us today forfeit God's blessing because we are afraid of the challenges that lie ahead? So we all going to have challenges. There's always going to be challenges. Every year there's going to be new challenges. But we have to remember that we represent God. He's on our side. For as long as, like Caleb said, if the Lord is with us, we can do this. If God is with us, who can come against us, really? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, just a nice song. But that's the theology. But Joshua understood when God told him later on, be strong and courageous, because I'm going to go with you. And Joshua will fight the battles of the Israelites. He was a warrior because he knew exactly in whom he placed his trust. And you and I, my brothers and sisters, need to realize that. We have placed our faith, our trust in God, in Christ. And He's with you. You don't have to fear. When you fear, faith goes out the window. When you have that faith, you don't have any fear. Many times we forfeit victory because of our lack of trust. Let's remember that our God is faithful. He was faithful to give Him the land. He's faithful to keep His promises. Even though right now we might be going through our trials, we might be looking at our situation like they look like the Nephilim. That thing looks like giants. Yes, you might look at that with your own eyes, but remember that the one you serve, the one that you represent, is bigger than any giants on the face of the earth. Because He's the great I Am. And you and I need to constantly be reminded of that. Because sometimes when you are in that pit, when you look at the size of those giants, you panic. And God said, look at me. I'm with you. Go. You and I need to have the confidence of Caleb and Joshua. We should go and take it. If the Lord is with us, man, that's nothing. We can overcome, they said. And He said, only because they have a different spirit. That's what the Lord said about them. And they're faithful to me. And so that's why I'm taking them into the land. Only you and I do not rebel against the Lord as we wait for His response. Our God is big enough. Our God is greater, Chris Tomlin said. He's greater than anything else. To Isaiah, he said, to whom will you compare me? There's nothing else you can compare this God. If He is your God, why then are we afraid to go where He's leading us? We're going to forfeit it. Why then are we not trusting our great God? He's strong enough to get us through the challenges of this life. Even if at times you might feel like a grasshopper. But I always say, I'd rather be a grasshopper in the armies of God than a giant away from God. I mean, that's my thing. I don't know about you, but I'd rather feel like a grasshopper because of my situation, but I want to be a grasshopper in God's army than feel like a giant without God in my life. My brothers and sisters, do not forfeit God's blessing. Check out what you're doing when He's leading you. Are you trusting Him? Don't be afraid if He's going with you. And in the meantime, do not rebel against Him so that your blessing will not be prolonged. You know what happened to the Israelites. So how are we going to continue journeying through this life as we wait for the greatest blessing of all, that is heaven? Do not rebel against God along the way.